Yishkoyach to the Me'arganim, to Luzi, Avrumi, anybody else is involved? Kol HaKavod.
Einstein.
It's nice to see what guys do on a night in the middle of the summer. This is how to spend it. It's the 9 days. And what's on the mind of every Jew in the 9 days is obviously Yerushalayim. Amazing how Yerushalayim is always in the headlines. Amazing how a bunch of metal detectors rock the entire world. And everybody's going crazy because you put a few metal detectors. That's what Yerushalayim has the power to do. It changes the world, begashmias and beruchnias. I once heard a story from Rabbi Lau, Zolzayin Gesund. He said that when he was, I think he was then the Rav of Netanya, I'm not sure exactly, but they went, there was a mishlachat in the 70s that came to America. And they arrive over here, and they went, you know, the whole, the government officials, and they go in to have a discussion about Rahman al-Islam giving away land, peace, whatever that means. And they get into, he gets into a discussion, Rabbi Lau himself gets into a discussion, he was a young man at the time, with Henry Kissinger, Zolzayin Gesund. I saw a beautiful anecdote that Henry Kissinger went into a TSA sometime recently, and he comes inside and they started to check him, to, you know, check him up and down. So he says, "You know I'm Henry Kissinger." So, you know, the guy tells him, "You know that I'm John McDonald." "Who's Henry Kissinger? Who remembers you?" He says, "That's how long it takes to be forgotten by the whole of America." So anyway, the guy tells, so Henry tells Rabbi Lau, he says, "How come?" He says, Rabbi Lau tells him, he says, "Tell me, how come you guys are pressuring us on every bit of land, every morsel of land you're pressurizing, but when it comes to Yerushalayim, at least at that time this is true, there's no pressure?" And Kissinger tells Rabbi Lau, he says, "You know, you guys, right after you conquered, in a stunning victory, you conquered Yerushalayim and you conquered the Golan and the Sinai and everything else you conquered over there," he says, "right away you told us that you were basically willing to give it away. Once we saw it open, a tiny little foot that was open, so we now know you're ready to give away everything. You're stuck in Shaila, you're ready to give away the land, it's just a matter of pressure, a little more, a little less. But Yerushalayim, we got the understanding." He says, "You told us, in no uncertain terms, Yerushalayim is not up for discussion. And so we didn't begin the pressure until later on when Rahman al-Islam things changed." But that's how a Jew feels about Yerushalayim. So I was looking through, you know, how do you express what Yerushalayim is? So I look at these papers over here, and I just decided, let me copy. I couldn't figure out how to do the left to right. I'm sorry, but it's the backwards. But on this side of the page, it's a poem, a kinnah, one of the kinnahs, authored by Rabbi Yehuda Alevi. And if you read this kinnah, it is just, it's unreal. It's incredible, his description of Yerushalayim. And I want to just read a few lines. I copied the whole thing over here, but just a few lines of it. He starts off, he says, "Tzion, halos tish'ali lishloim asirayich. Aren't you going to ask for the peace, for the shalom of asirayich, of your prisoners?" The prisoners are all the Jews around the world who are in prison and yearning for Yerushalayim. "Dorshe shloimeich, seeking your peace, v'heim yeser adarayich, and they are the residue of your herds. Miyamu mizrach, mitzafen etayman, from all corners of the world, shloim rachok v'karev, accept the peace of rachok v'karev, of distant and close, si'im yikol avarayich, take from all ends. Ushlom asir taiva, the shalom, the peace of asir taiva, someone who's stuck in his taiva, in his yearning. Noisen dma'av ketal, who's shedding tears like dew, of the tal of Hermon, of the mount of Hermon, when ichsaf, and he's yearning that his tears should rain down, neriditam al haroraich, on your mountains. Livkois enuseich, when I cry your thoris, ani sanim, I am a jackal. V'eis echeloim, and as I dream." This is Rabbi Yehuda Alevi in the 1500s. Shiva shvuseich, how you will return. Ani chinur le shiraich, believe it or not, he's the one who figured that one out, not Naomi Shemer. He said, "Ani chinor leshirayich, I am a harp to your songs." Just a couple more lines because it's so beautiful, but not the whole thing will take us too long. He says, "Libi leveis el, my heart yearns for the home of Hashem. Velifni el ma'od yeme, ulemachanayim mechol pigei teiroich, to all the purity of Yerushalayim. Shama shchina shchinalach, that's where the shchina is." And he goes on and on. He skips in the next column. He says, look in line on the second column, line 7. Agoz ve'ashlich pe'er nizri ve'ekev zman. I will cut off and take off the any splendor that I have, and I will curse time. Chilel be'eretz temeyos nazirayich, who took your nazirim, your appointed ones, and profaned them. And eichye roiv libi. He says, how can I bechlal echol b'shas? How can I think of eating and drinking? Hence, there's no meat here tonight. Be'es echazer, when I see ki schavu haklavim et kfirayich, that the dogs are carrying your lion cubs. How can the light of day be sweet to my eyes? The oid ereb fi ervim, when I see ravens are taking pigrei nesharayich, the corpses of your eagles. And he says, koisa yigoyim leat, the cup of sorrows, slow down, harpi meat, slow, ki kvar moluch solev anavshim amarech, I can't handle you anymore. And at the end of the kapitla of the song, he goes through and he says, last four lines, he says, Ashrei mechake v'yagia v'yiri olos oirech. Fortunate is he who is waiting for your light to come up, v'yiboku olav shchoroich, that your morning should come up again. Lirois v'toivas b'chiraich, to see those who are chosen from you come up again. V'la'aloz b'simchatech, to rejoice in your simcha, b'shuveich, when you return. Elei kadmus neuraich, to what you used to be back when you were a child. And so it is that Yerushalayim occupies our lives all the time. We make a wedding, and it's the unhappy part of the wedding, even though we make it into a whole thing. But it is Imeshkochech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. How can I forget Yerushalayim? The breaking of the glass, because my simcha is never complete. In Yerushalayim, the real Yerushalmi is Adayim Azeh. Don't make a wedding with more than one or two maybe pieces of a band. Why? Because how can you b'chal be singing? How can you allow music? And the Gemara discusses all the things. They wanted to ask everything. They said, you can't ask everything because people have to live. But the feeling of Yerushalayim having disappeared was at the heart of something that Klal Yisrael felt throughout the ages. And on that backdrop, if you turn the page, we look at a pasuk which we say every morning in davening. I'm sure you'll recognize it. The pasuk says, "Bnei Yerushalayim Hashem, Nidche Yisrael Yechanes." Hashem builds Yerushalayim. God will build Yerushalayim. Nidche Yisrael Yechanes, He will gather those who are wayward, those who are lost of Yisrael, lost around the world. He'll gather them together and put them in Yerushalayim. And when you look at the pasuk at face value, what does it say? It's very nice. It says one and the same thing. It tells us what we all yearn for, that Hashem is the builder of Yerushalayim. Boyne Yerushalayim. Who is the Boyne Yerushalayim? Hashem. And Nidche Yisrael Yechanes, Hashem will gather together the exiles and bring them all together. So if I'm thinking about the pasuk, I'm thinking about that just as Hashem is Boyne Yerushalayim, if you build Yerushalayim, it's not just about building the physical city of Yerushalayim, but it's also about gathering the exiles together, Nidche Yisrael Yechanes, that is one and the same thing. And therefore the Medrash on this pasuk makes no sense. I don't know where the Medrash is from. Try to find it. My Otzer Chachma didn't yet locate it. But what I'm about to show you is a Maimer of the Tzemach Tzedek. That one I did find. And the Tzemach Tzedek quotes in the Medrash somewhere. I trust him that it's a Medrash somewhere. So the Medrash says as follows. It takes the pasuk and it says, "Afal pi sheboine Yerushalayim Hashem, afal pi chein nidche Yisrael Yechanes." You see the problem with that? The Medrash says, adds that word, "Afal pi," even though Hashem is boine Yerushalayim. I skipped those words there, but "afal pi chein," even so, Nidchei Yisrael Yechanes. And you have to wonder, even though Hashem builds Yerushalayim, even so He will gather the exiles of the Jews from around the world. I thought that was the same thing. You just bust my bubble. What you're telling me now is that Hashem is Boinei Yerushalayim, and He's going to build Yerushalayim, and all these, Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi is saying, we are all yearning for Yerushalayim. That we chalish for the moment, we'll get Yerushalayim back. Those of Yisrael, the Nidche Yisrael, the lost of Yisrael throughout the ages, so many of whom have become Tinoke Shenishvu, but who yearned for Yerushalayim. That Nidche Yisrael, Yechanes, is not synonymous with Boinei Yerushalayim. And that the pshat is that even though Boinei Yerushalayim Hashem and then has nothing to do with Nidche Yisrael Yechanes, nonetheless, God will do you a favor kind of thing. That's what it sounds like. And Nidche Yisrael Yechanes. Follow the question? Should have said, Boinei Yerushalayim Hashem ve Nidche Yisrael Yechanes. That would have made sense. That's pshat in the pasuk. You don't need a medrash for that. The Medrash topples the whole thing over. The Medrash says that Hashem is Boinei Yerushalayim, and thank you for building Yerushalayim, O God. Even though you built Yerushalayim, and you would think that therefore you should not gather the exiles of Yisrael in, nonetheless, God has all been nice. Nidche Yisrael Yechanes. Vos is Pshat. To understand this, the Tzemach Tzedek says we have to learn inside a Mishnah and learn a halacha in business. Choshen Mishpat. And through that, we will be able to appreciate the din. Through that, we'll appreciate what the Medrash is saying. So take a look at the next piece. It's a Mishnah in Baba Metzia. The Mishnah speaks about the following case. Habayis v'ho'aliyah shel shnayim shenoflu. It's about 120 blat ago in the Daf Yomi. Next. Habayis v'ho'aliyah shel shnayim shenoflu. There. Two guys own together. They own the two-family home. So, one guy lives on the first floor, and another guy lives on the second floor, and they bought the house together. So, the owner of the first floor is different to the owner of the second floor. So, there's a deed of the house. And on the deed, not that one is a landlord, the other one's a tenant, they are both owners of this house. So the trouble is that when you own a house together, if you're attached on the side or on top in this case, you have no choice but to coexist, to work together with your neighbor. So everything's fine and good, life is well, and one day the house falls down. Abayis v'aliyah shel shnayim shenoflu. The house came caving down. There was a sandy or something of the sort. The house came down and they get a contractor in to figure out how much does it cost to build the house. The contractor says $700,000 to build the house, and there's no insurance. Insurance doesn't cover tornadoes in New York. So we've got a problem because each one of them has to fork out $350,000 to build the house. And together they'll build it. If they have the money, they build it together, inshallah al Yisrael, but they don't. Omar Bala Aliyah, Le Bala Bayis, Livnois, Le Bala Aliyah, the owner of the second floor, tells the owner of the first floor, he says, let's build the house together. Who ain't a Yoitse Livnois? He doesn't want or he can't. But the Mishnah says he doesn't want. He's not interested in building. He says, I got another place to be in, or I don't have money, whatever his reasoning is. He doesn't want to build the upper floor, the lower floor. So what's the din? Mm-hmm. So the guy's got a problem. If the lower owner, if he decides he wants to build, then it's easy. Because he just builds his house. He builds one floor and tells the other guy, whenever you're ready, you just build the second floor. Presumably he has to build it strong enough to allow a second floor. But it's very easy and very simple. He has to rebuild his first floor. The trouble over here is that the guy who wants to do it is the second floor, the attic. So you can't build a second floor without building a first floor. As Mao seen, the second floor guy is ready to build, first floor guy is not ready to build, so you can't build. Vos Tutman.
So the din is harei balo aliyah boine sabayis the door besoicha. The din is the balo aliyah, the owner of the second floor, builds the house and lives in it. The first floor, that is. Ad sheyitin lo yasetziyosa. There's a second opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We won't go into him now. We'll stick with Tanakam. So he says balo aliyah, the owner of the attic, the second floor, builds the first floor and lives there. Now, so he built the first floor basically. The owner of the first floor comes back and he says, wow, that's my house. That's mine. And he says, listen, Heverman, you want to get your house? No problem. You pay me 350 grand that I forked out to build your house. And if you pay me the money, I'll get you the second floor. I'll build the second floor and then you can get the first floor. Until you pay me what I spent on the first floor, I own the first floor. I'm so sorry, you can't have it. That's the din. What does that have to do with us? It has to do with us, says the Tzemach Tzedek, that we have a two-family home. We live in a two-family home. At least we used to live in a two-family home. The two-family home is Yerushalayim Shel Mato, the Yerushalayim Shel Mailo. There's a Yerushalayim down here, and there's a Yerushalayim upstairs in Shamayim. When the Yerushalayim over here is the first floor of Yerushalayim Shel Mailo, which is the second floor. This floor is built under that floor, and they both are one and the same structure, which will force us to think about the Churban of Yerushalayim in a completely different way. We are prone to think that God was telling us that He sends the Nevi'im and He says, if you don't do kach v'kach, if you disobey me, I'm telling you now, I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to destroy Yerushalayim. And they said to God, we don't care. We're going to continue doing Averis. We're going to continue doing everything that's going to bring about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So God is like the commander-in-chief, and He's like, how much patience can I have with the Yidden? Until when can I last? And finally, after 410 years, He decides to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And Chazal tell us that in actual fact, that's about how long it was. Because even though the first 40 years was the time of Shlomo HaMelech's reign, Ish Tachas Gafne V'Tachas Teinosei, but in actual fact, even in that time, as soon as Shlomo HaMelech went and married Bas Parai, so the angel of death, Samuel, Samach Mem, came and he took Noat's Sirtun, he took his Noat's Kone, Bakarka, he took a Kone, a stick in the ground, he put it in the ground, and on that was formed Italia Shel Yavon. Italia Shel Yavon would destroy later the second Beis HaMikdash, Rome. So the second he married Bas Paroi was already the beginning of the Churban. But Shlomo was doch, at the end of the day, a good king. But afterwards, as you went through generations, you had Malchi Yisrael, Malchi Yehuda, who angered Hashem, until Hashem got fed up, and He said, I'm done. And then the Churban Beis HaMikdash comes about. Tzemach Tzedek is explaining in a completely different light. It isn't that way. Think about the father who decides, who tells his son or his daughter, Chas V'Shalom, he says, listen, you need to obey the rules of the house. If you stop obeying the rules of the house, if kach v'kach happens at this point, I will have no choice but to kick you out. Just dealing right now with a case. Saddest thing in the world. A girl was found, 16 years old. She's sleeping on the streets in the neighborhood. Someone took her in, a family took her in for a couple of months. They tried to get her into some place and they couldn't get her in, and the family Poshet couldn't handle anymore. So just today they told her that she can't stay anymore, and the ACS now put her on the open market. Hopefully we'll come to a Jewish home. But there's a kid, 16 year old kid from a frum family and everything, and she's on the open market, as they call it, the ACS, as to be taken for foster care. How do her parents feel at this time? Who are good Erelecha people, just had an issue. They're like, if you don't do this, I'm kicking you out. That's it, you're out the house. When your child, Afkena Mishgedacht, when your child is kicked out of the house, you're kicked out the house. Your heart is ripped apart. You don't just say, oh, the kid goes out, it's fine. Now, okay, deal with the rest of the leftover ones. You can't just do that. That child is a part of who you are. The child is you. If the child goes, so do I. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you, at this point, I will be devastated. And that's how God says the same thing. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, I am vested in this with you. He's saying, when we built the Beis HaMikdash, you live on the first floor and I live on the second floor. The definition of a second floor is that it cannot stand without a first floor. Second floors must have first floors or they cannot exist. That's like God saying, I'm telling you that if Chas V'Shalom, you don't listen to me, and if things go down and they fall and they get to a position that Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, then my home will fall too. Yerushalayim Shalmaila will come tumbling down together with Yerushalayim Shalmata, and there won't be any structure. There won't be a Beis HaMikdash. Begashmias and godliness will be forever destroyed and ransacked. And what he's saying is, please don't do this. Please attach yourself to God so that you and I can live in a good home and not be destroyed. Because if you don't, you and I together will come tumbling and crashing down, and my heart sinks as you do. And so is the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It says, Hen Er Elim, Pasuk says, Hen Er Elim Tzoaku Chutza. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Er Elim, the angels, the Malachim, lion-like angels, Tzoaku Chutza, were crying as they were kicked out, because they were ousted from Yerushalayim and they couldn't be in Yerushalayim Shalmaila anymore. How do we know all this? Take a look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, when Yaakov goes to sleep, the fourth piece over there, Vayiro Vayoyma, he says, it's in shade, Manoyiro Hamokim Azeh, Yaakov goes to sleep in the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and he says, how awesome is this place? Ein Zekim Beis HaLikim, this cannot be anything other than the Beis HaLikim, the home of Hashem. And the Zeh Shar HaShomoyim, and this is the gate of heaven. What does that mean? Yaakov goes to sleep. He went to Aram. He went to Lavan. He's like, oh my gosh, I passed by the place of the Beis HaMikdash, I didn't daven. So he rushes back. He gets back to the place, Har HaMoriah, that place right there where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. And Yaakov goes to sleep at night. And he says, when he sleeps, he feels, he sees the ladder going up to Shamayim. And he sees the Malachim going up, Malachim going down. That's the place the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. He felt the davening over there. And when he wakes up, he says, how awesome is this place? This is the home of Hashem, and this is the gate to the heavens. Says Rashi, Umidroshoi, what does that mean, this is the gate of heavens? She Beis HaMikdash Shel Maila Mechuvon Kineged Beis HaMikdash Shel Mato. The Beis HaMikdash above corresponds to the Beis HaMikdash below. Ein Zekim Beis Elikim Zeh Shara Shamoyim, I discovered the opening into the heavens. If you're over here, you are in the Shara Shamoyim. The Beis HaMikdash Shel Mato is right under the Beis HaMikdash Shel Maila. Omar Rabbi Yochanan says, I assume everyone knows this from the song, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Loi Ovoi Yerushalayim Shel Maila, I will not enter Yerushalayim Shel Maila Ad She'avol Yerushalayim Shel Mato, until I enter Yerushalayim Shel Mato. So in case you're worried, saying, God, why don't you just build the Beis HaMikdash? Why don't you just get this whole galus rid of it and just build the Beis HaMikdash? Everything will be fine. What's the law of Tzaras? You're God. You can do whatever you want. Why are we praying and beseeching you and saying to you, just do it? Who's stopping God from doing whatever he wants? The Eibush is capable. He's called Yochel. So it's one of the Shavuos HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore. And he said, Loi, loi, avoy, Yerushalayim shel mailo. I will not enter Yerushalayim above, ad she'avol Yerushalayim shel mata. I don't know why he took that Shavuos, but God keeps his oaths. And so the Eibush says, I cannot enter Yerushalayim over there. until I get Yerushalayim over here. And Yerushalayim over here is up to you. Fekti Gemara, Umi Ike Yerushalayim Lemaila? Is there such a thing as Yerushalayim above? Answer the Gemara, In. You bet there is. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Yerushalayim Abnuya, Yerushalayim which is built, the Pasuk in Shiamala says, Ki'ir Shechubra Lo Yachdov. It is a city which is Chubra, Mitchaberet. It is attached, it is connected, it's like Lego. You build the one piece, you stick the other piece, and you get Yerushalayim together. Yerushalayim Abnuya, it's built, Ki'ir Shechubra Lo Yachdov, a city which is connected. Think about the next time you daven on Shabbos morning, and you say the Shiamalis, you're talking about Yerushalayim Shel Maila, Mechuberes, Yerushalayim Shel Mato. How do you build Yerushalayim? As anyone knows, when you want to build, right, what do you need? Number one, you get a good contractor. And the contractor comes in and starts doing the work. And it's very simple. You build the foundations, you build the walls. If you're in New York, you put some super expensive junk and you build your structure with it. But that's all wonderful. There's another element to building. Construction has one other element, and that is...
We're using the Chinese guy, so...
The other element of construction, even if the guy's Chinese, is you need money.
Finance.
You need money. If you don't have money, the alt fine und gut, the contractor's walking away from you. That building will not come up, will not be put up without money. Kesef minolam. You gotta have the money. So what happens is, Hashem says, okay, you guys need to build Yerushalayim Shel Mato. And as soon as you build Yerushalayim Shel Mato, I will build Yerushalayim Shel Mailo. So okay, we say, God, we're ready. Comes the Mishnah and says, Habayis Ve'aliyah Shel Shnayim Shenoflu. So we own a house together with Hashem. We are partners in a home with God together. Us and God are in partnership. Just think about what that means. It's something we say, right? Vayichulu. If you say Vayichulu on Friday night, you become a shutfus HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis. We are in a shutfus over here. We and God, because He made a shvuah. So we were living together and it was wonderful. We were living in Yerushalayim. And you know, buildings also require upkeep. We did the upkeep of Yerushalayim. The financial upkeep was great. Because we brought korbanos. And there was a keves tamid baboiker and ben arboim and all the korbanos in between. And Yerushalayim was the center of Jewish life. And you came to Yerushalayim, left, right, and center. And everyone walked into Yerushalayim together in the Oshalosh Regalim. And they all, as the Rambam says, slept outside in the streets in case there'll be oil atumo at night. And they all had such a wonderful experience being in Yerushalayim. And keshem sheba lirois, kach bo lirois. When you offered a korban, you put a korban on the Mizbeach, what happens? As soon as you offer the korban, Eish Shelemaila would come down, Revutza Ke'ari, there was a lion-shaped fire would come down and would devour your korban. And you saw God. Just learning a Gemara now in Zvachim, which says that in the second Beis HaMikdash, it says, they had to extend the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, why would you extend? It says there were too many people. So, but that doesn't make sense. The first Beis HaMikdash, they were Kechoy Layom. And the second Beis HaMikdash, when they started, there was only 40,000 Jews there. That's the whole thing. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in the first Beis HaMikdash, the fire of Hashem, of the Shekhinah, was so connected into the Beis HaMikdash, that Pashut allowed the Beis HaMikdash to be expanded. And there was always space for people. The whole thing was miracles. The whole thing was Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim had everything you wanted. And that's why even the Averis were more spiritual Averis. What were the Averis in Yerushalayim at that time? You wouldn't even dream of that. They were serving Avodah Zarah. And the Navi tells them, don't serve Avodah Zarah, don't do this. Avodah Zarah is a spiritual type of Avera. The whole thing was spiritual. Yerushalayim Shelemailo was Mechuvenes Mamish Keneged Yerushalayim Shelemato. And then the house came tumbling down because we botched up. Because the Yidden didn't feel connected to God. So as soon as you didn't feel connected to God, what you did is you lost the reason for being. You lost the spirituality of Yerushalayim. And in fact, the Yidden were rejoicing when Yerushalayim was destroyed. Why? Because Shofa Chamosse al Eitzim Va'avonim. Because the Eibishter let his wrath out on the sticks and stones instead of on the people themselves. because they realized Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, was already destroyed by the time the Goyim came and burnt it. There was no spirituality to it anymore. The life force was gone. And now there's a rubble and there's nothing left. So the Mishnah says, Habayis ve'aliyah shel shnayim shenoflu, Omar ba'alo aliyah le'bal habayis liv nois. The ba'alo aliyah, the owner of the upper floor, comes over to the owner of the lower floor and he said, neighbor, shutef, let's build together. Let's build it together. What does that mean, let's build it together? The pshat, let's build it together, is we need to first understand what is Yerushalayim and how do you build Yerushalayim. You have to have the physical sticks and stones, yes. But you also need to have currency, you need to have money in order to build a building. What is the currency of Yerushalayim? What does Yerushalayim mean? Just as when you want to build a building, you have to have physical money. When you build Yerushalayim, what do you have to have? Yerushalayim. Maze Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a dual word put together. Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim. Take a look at this medrash over here. Avram Karoisa Yira. Avram named Yerushalayim for the fear of Hashem, Yira. Shenemar, it says, Vayikra Avram Shem Amokam Hashem Yeroi. He called the place Hashem Yeroi. Yeroi will be seen. Yeroi will be feared. Shame Karoisa Shalem. Shame called Yerushalayim perfect. Shenemar, it says, Umalki Tzedek Melech Shalem. Malki Tzedek was the king of Shalem. What's Shalem? Yerushalayim. Malki Tzedek is Shame. Malki Tzedek called Yerushalayim Shalem, complete. K'moy shekaru shneim, Yerushalayim Yerushalayim. So we took the Yireh of Avraham, Be'ar Hashem Yeroyer, and we took the Shalem of Shem, and we combined them together, and we have the name Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the place where you fear God. Yerushalayim is the place where you walk in and you experience God kipshutoy. Any other place in the world, you don't feel it. I don't know what feelings are today, but I hope that if you haven't been to the Kotel in a long time, and you come to the Kotel and you walk inside there, that there's a little inkling, a shemet, 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 of what was supposed to be the original feeling of Yerushalayim. Bottom line is, Yerushalayim is at the core of our beings. Not because it's a physical structure, but more than that, because Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim, is the perfect Yira. Now there are two levels of Yira. There's what we call Yira Tata'a and Yira Ilah. There's a lower level of fear of Hashem and the higher level of fear of Hashem. What's the lower level of fear of Hashem? The lower level is, I'm afraid of what God can do to me. You know, if I don't listen to Hashem, if I eat that cheeseburger Chas V'Shalom, who knows what can happen? The lightning's going to strike me. Who knows what God can do to me? It's more of a fear of what God can do to me. But once you learn Torah, the pasuk says, "Vayitzaveinu Hashem lases es kol achukim o'eile leyira es Hashem." Hashem commanded us all these chukim in order that we fear God. He wants us to fear Hashem. So what does it mean to fear Hashem? That means once you do all the chukim, if you do the whole Torah, if you start learning Torah and you start chapping what it is, then you start appreciating what God truly is. There's Yerushalayim Shel Mata and there's Yerushalayim Shel Maila. Yerushalayim Shel Mata is down here, this one. And what's Yerushalayim Shel Maila? After you got the Yira over here, the very basic level of Yira, then you enter and start appreciating the deeper level of Yira. And then you start appreciating what God truly is. Like a couple who, when you marry at the beginning, it's like, it's a nice, you know, you're playing house. After 30, 40, 50 years of marriage, you begin to appreciate each other. So we begin, the relationship starts once you get Yira Shalem. And the Yira over here leads to the Yira above. Omar Balo Aliyah Le Balabayis. So the Balo Aliyah says to the Balabayis, God comes to a Jew and he says, I want to instill in you a sense of connection to God. And you start feeling Yehurei Tshuva. Sometimes you walk in the street, you don't know how it happens. Sometimes you feel a sense of, maybe God is real. there's this feeling, it's a slight, just for a moment, and it's a fleeting little feeling, and then it disappears. But you start thinking, Efshar, the Eibishter is real. That says that Tzemach Tzedek is what the Mishnah means in Avodas Hashem, Omar Ba'alo Aliyah Le'Ba'al HaBayis. The Ba'al HaAliyah, the Eibishter, is telling the Ba'al HaBayis, is telling the Jew down here. He's telling him, Livnoi Sabayis, build the house. He's instilling in the Jew a sense of Yiras Shamayim. But what happens? The who ain't a right to leave place. The Jew doesn't want to build it. What's the sad reality of Yerushalayim? Maybe I'll speak for myself using the royal we. But we don't care. That's the problem. If I tell you, let's build a Beis HaMikdash tomorrow, you're interested? How are you going to explain? We can barely explain Kaparis to Peter. How are we going to explain the Beis HaMikdash to Peter? Then what? They're going to come, there's going to be a bunch of them coming in, and they're going to come along and say, what are these sacrifices for? What are this or what is that? And, you know, forget just chickens or whatever. You're posh taking a chicken, smushing his head on the Mizbeach and whatever, and then breaking his neck from the back and whatnot, and blood and guts and gore flying all over. And that's the Beis HaMikdash. And I have to tell you, I don't know what to tell Peter. Because it's nice to learn on Nizvachim. To learn Vos Hashteit. But to say that that's your life is very difficult. The trouble with the Beis HaMikdash is, you know what we lost? We didn't just lose the Beis HaMikdash. We lost the whole concept of a Beis HaMikdash. We don't even begin to understand what it means to offer an animal as a sacrifice to God. And how special and unique that is. We're so chained into Golas that we don't begin to appreciate. So the Ba'al HaAliyah tells the Ba'al HaBayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yid, no, let's build the Beis HaMikdash. And what does the Yid say? He says, I don't know. The Uwein writes it. He doesn't want. I mean, he does want, whatever, but he's not motivated. That's the problem. We scream to God and we say, did you see there was a clip going around of Elie Wiesel? Today I saw it. Magnificent. Elie Wiesel singing, Ani Mamin Be'emuna Shleima Be'Vias HaMashiach. He's singing, it's so heartsick, it's so amazing. I remember my grandmother, Leah Shalom, also went through Auschwitz. She was first cousin of Elie Wiesel. And she this there was obviously the same niggun they sang. It's so powerful, it's so poignant. That's maybe a real Jew. That's a Jew going out of the Holocaust. That's unreal. That's a Jew. But are we really waiting? Is it really meaningful to us? To us? Do I care about the Beis HaMikdash? Do I want to know? Do I learn in the times, in the 9 days, am I learning about Hilchas Beis HaBechira? Am I ready? Do I want to know what it's like to be a Kohen? Not Hilchas Ali Mashiach, Hilchas Ali now. Now, Allah is Mashiach could come in 18 minutes. You know, a Kohen can't get drunk. Why? Because if he drinks a revis of wine, he might do the Avodah, and the Beis HaMikdash might be rebuilt now. And how are you going to do the Avodah? How long does it take to get rid of the drunkenness of a revis of wine? 18 minutes or 24 minutes. In other words, within 18 or 24 minutes from this second, the Beis HaMikdash could be rebuilt. Does that mean anything to us? The Ba'al HaAliyah is begging and he's saying, please build it. Who ain't it right? Zog der Ba'al HaAliyah. So the Ba'al HaAliyah comes along and he says, I'm going back to the Mishnah. He says, Are Ba'al HaAliyah, boines abayis ador besoicha. So the Ba'al HaAliyah at some point says, Gamarnu, you're not doing it, I'm going to do it. And this is where the difficult part comes in. What does that mean? This is the Tzemach Tzedek. This is all this he's saying in the Maimon. I have a coffee here for you, every once and afterwards. He says, so the Ba'al HaAliyah says to the Ba'al HaBayis, you don't want to build that? Okay, the halacha is, if I build the first floor, I'm good. So the Ba'al HaAliyah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, goes and builds Yerushalayim. He builds it, and it's done. But he says to the Ba'al HaBayis, I'm so sorry, al pi halacha, you're not allowed to live here until you pay me money. What's money? Until you figure out what it means to have Yiras Shamayim. So I don't know what that means. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it fascinating? Now my father's, the Zayin Gezunt, is eight generations Yerushalayim. And whenever we go to Yerushalayim, it's like alive. You walk inside there. I remember as kids going inside, every little detail. And one of the stories of Yerushalayim would be how, yep, on this street, we used to walk down this street, Rehov, I'm not going to forget the name of the street. Anyway, and over there, the Jordanian snipers would just fire at us randomly. I used to walk with my mother. He's saying, "Yeah, we used to go, and we used to walk, and every time people would get killed, the Jordanians just bored, and they would fire from the walls of the old city, and there was no way for any Jew to get there. You'd hide, and you'd whatever, and that was life. That was the life he grew up. He was born 47 and 67. It was there. So the first 20 years of his life, that's how it was, living in Yerushalayim. And then one day, suddenly, bam, miracle. And isn't it amazing? You can go to the Kaisel today. Okay, you can't daven if you want to daven on the Beis HaMikdash, if you want to go in there. But, and you've got a problem with metal detectors. But the bottom line is, you can go to Yerushalayim. You hop on a plane now and get into Yerushalayim. Aval ma ba'ya? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll build it. Balo Aliyah says to the Balabais, Ichel boy in the Beis HaMikdash. However, you can't live there ad sheyiten lo yes yetziyosev until you pay for it. Meaning we have to come up and start feeling what Yerushalayim truly is. And what is Yerushalayim? So he says, Yerushalayim is the experience of being attached to God. Yerushalayim is that all the Jews around the world feel somehow attached to God. I don't know, by the way, that was a made-up shot. That wasn't what Tzemach Tzedek says. Meaning, that it means Tzemach Tzedek wrote this Maimer 150 whatever years before 1967. He didn't say that's what it means. Maybe he meant that it means a whole different thing. But there's something to be said about the world we live in, that you already have it. The Balo Aliyah has already built the first floor. And he's saying, pay me for it, and straight away you'll get the second floor. Hadahu dichsiv, that's what it means when it says, Boine Yerushalayim Hashem. Hashem built Yerushalayim. And now we understand the Mishnah, we see the problem with that. The problem is, it's very nice he built Yerushalayim, but Boine Yerushalayim Hashem is the problem. So at Gedaf Zayin, Boine Yerushalayim, you. Because you're the first floor owner, you're supposed to build it and pay for it. But Hashem built it, so now there's a problem. The problem is, if Boine Yerushalayim Hashem, then the Jew on the second, the Jew on the first floor has to pay him to get inside there. And the Jew's not paying. And it's not getting any better. It's just going down. So God's like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I'm trying to follow the Mishnah, I'm trying to follow the Psak Halacha, and see Gate Nisht. Boy near Yerushalayim Hashem comes the Medrash, and now we understand what the Medrash is saying. Afal Pisha Boy near Yerushalayim Hashem. God says, even though, not Boy near Yerushalayim, but Dogish is Hashem. Even though Hashem is building Yerushalayim, and you guys are not doing it. So God says, but if I'm waiting for you to do that too, I'm going to be stuck. And there are two ways. Look at this last piece in the Zohar. The Zohar says, on the one hand, the Navi says, this is the Neshiva, the Dechemta, Ksiv Be'ita Uchsiv Achishena, Zohu Be'ita Le'zohu Achishena. If you're Zohiche, it's Be'ita. And if you're not Zohiche, it's Achishena. The Beis HaMikdash. The building of the Beis HaMikdash. Ani Hashem Be'ito Achishena. There is a Be'ito. There is a time when the Beis HaMikdash is meant to be rebuilt and it's done. And that's why God says when the time came, He says, I'm done, I'm building the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Mishnah says, Balo Aliyah says to Balabais, I'm building it. That's Be'ita. But Be'ita Achishena. Hashem says, you know what? Even though you guys are not doing your job, I'm going to do that job of you for you too. Afal pi sheboyin Yerushalayim Hashem, afal pi chein. Nidchei Yisrael Lichanes. Nonetheless, God says, I'm going to gather myself, the exiles of Yerushalayim. What are the Nidchei Yisrael? Nidchei Yisrael are, Yidden are throughout the world and throughout the ages. All of us, wherever we may be, all of us together are building Yerushalayim. We daven through Yerushalayim. V'ispallu elecho el amokim hazeh. We daven through Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the center, the core of our being, of who we are. And wherever we are, whatever we do, we are the Nidchei Yisrael. We, together with every Yid out there. And the Yevusha says, Nidche Yisrael Yichanes, I will gather you, Yari Aleinu Ruach Mimorim, I will make a spirit, Mimarom, to bring every single Jew to Tshuva. We need to open up a little opening. Kechuda Shel Machat, V'ani Yeftach Lachem Kefis Choy Shel Ulam. If we're ready to pay for that building, God says, it's going to happen. I'm going to make it happen. If you're not ready to happen, I'm going to force it through. And as I force it through, I'm going to make sure that every single one of you does tshuva on your own. That you guys do tshuva. I was just wondering today, you know, this amazing case. Like the story, there was another WhatsApp going around about this. You saw it. Yeah, I think his name is Rabbi Yagin. Telling an amazing story. I won't repeat it. You should watch it if you didn't see it. But about how parents treat their children today. We just had the Nebuch terrible story with Malki a couple weeks ago. And when you're wondering about those kind of cases, you realize one simple thing. Maybe your father used to punch you when you didn't do things right. That don't work anymore. Today, the only way to do stuff when you have a child who goes off is pure, total, after Avos Yisrael. You have to totally love. You have to present a love which is beyond what anything anyone could ever have imagined. And God has kind of forced us into such parenting today, because otherwise they're going to lose everyone. And the parent, you realize, I'm not losing this one. And that sinas chinam for which the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, is suddenly there's a ruach, there's a spirit. And perhaps that's one of what it means. And God says, I will make sure, midche Yisrael yichanes. I will make sure there's a level of tshuva done. So the Mishnah reads and says, okay, so the home falls down, the upper and the Yerushalayim Shel Mayala and Mata, it all falls down, the whole thing comes conking in us. Malasot, what do we do? So God says, don't worry. I'm going to build. We build it together. We say, no, we're not interested. Am Yisrael is not interested. God says, I'll build it myself. But if I build it, you got to pay for it. And we're not paying for it. So Hashem is bringing Yerushalayim. Hashem says, even so, Nidchei Yisrael Lechanes. I'm going to gather the exiles of Yisrael together. I will make sure that you will do it on your own. You get it? He's not going to make sure. He's just going to put us in a situation where we don't have a choice but to do it on our own and to accomplish it. And I want to just end off with a little story. There's a shul in Yerushalayim, a massive, beautiful, amazing shul in the old city. It was just recently built. It's called the Churva Shul, although it's not a Churva anymore.
Rebuilt.
Yes, the Churva Shul was, the story is like this. I actually spent some time in the old city a number of years ago with the Zilbermans. I put my kids in the school there, and that's where they daven, and they hang out there. They wear tefillin all day long. Amazing people. They really run the shul. So the Churva Shul was built by Rabbi Yehuda Chassid in 1700. He came up with a bunch of 500 families, came up to Yerushalayim, comes into the city, and he got reshus from the Muslims to build Yerushalayim. Built this beautiful, to build the shul, he built this magnificent structure, and they needed money to build this thing. Got to have hoitzois. Where do you get the money from? They went to the local Muslims, and the interest rate was terribly high. Unfortunately, as soon as they finished building the building, he passed away and they couldn't pay it anymore. So he died at 41 years old. They sent a shadar to Chutzlar to try to get the money, nothing doing. Finally, the Muslims got upset, and I think in 1721, they burned the whole shul down, gone. And they also kicked all the Ashkenazi Jews out of Yerushalayim. No more Ashkenazim allowed into Yerushalayim for another 100 years. In the mid-1800s, another group of Jews started coming up to Eretz Yisrael. They went to live in Tzfas. They were Ashkenazi Jews. They couldn't live in Yerushalayim. They weren't allowed. But slowly they started sneaking in, putting on. They made themselves dark and put on some Sephardi clothing. And they walked into Yerushalayim. And they started getting together till there were a whole lot of them. And finally they got Rishus to rebuild the Churva Shul. And they rebuilt the Churva Shul. And they put up this magnificent structure. And they weren't allowed to make it taller than the mosque, the highest mosques. In the middle of the night, a bunch of them got up and they built that beautiful dome on top. And after they built the beautiful dome, they now, the Muslims are ready, okay, they let it be. And the Churva Shul remained until 1967. 1967, every single shul in the old city was destroyed, including that one. And the only shul remaining was the Tzemach Tzedek Shul, right on top actually. And they destroyed it, gone. So the Yidden got back to Yerushalayim in 1948, I'm sorry. 48. In 67, they got back into Yerushalayim, they rebuilt the city, and for some reason, if you went to Yerushalayim until a few years ago, there was a big arch over there, the Churva Shul. That was the remains of the Churva Shul. And a couple years ago, there was a decision to rebuild the Churva Shul. And they built it. It is magnificent, it is incredible, it's a stunning structure all the way on top. It is the structure that represents the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed once, was destroyed twice. But at the end of the day, we got the money together, we figured out how to do it, we got the hoitzois to rebuild the building, to build the city of Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Shel Mata, in order that Yerushalayim Shel Maila should be built, just like the third Beis HaMikdash should come about. And the Eibush will help, and we should be zoiche to rebuild it, and that Boini Yerushalayim Hashem and Nidchei Yisrael Lechanes, we do the Avodah together. Should be Zoyche to a Freilachen. You don't say to someone you have a meaningful fast, you say you should have no fast. Right.